Folks, welcome back to Beer and Business. Today, damn it, Lynn is not here. She decided she had to go on a vacation with some of her family, I guess her in-laws, so to speak. This isn't her vacation. This is her husband's vacation. She's just along for the ride on this one. So, you know what, Lynn? I hope you're having a good time. Please wear some sunscreen because I know you're at the beach. And no dad jokes for you folks. Sorry. Hopefully she's reading a dad joke book so she'll come back with some good ones. Maybe she could read a book on how to tell a dad joke correctly. She can never seem to land it right, but that's part of the charm of Lynn. And she's a heck of a lot smarter than I am. Next thing we always go into, what are we drinking today? So Hop City, thank you guys. You have plied us with beer from Yazoo, which is a brewery out of Nashville, Tennessee. I've had their beer up in Nashville. I don't know if it tastes better just because we're in Nashville or the fact that maybe the water's a little different up there. No, this is a fabulous, fabulous beer. We're starting out today with their birthday saison. It's an anniversary birthday saison from Yazoo. And this thing is a, I have no idea. Can't really tell you what the ABV is on it, but if Lynn was asking me, is it a poolside sipper, a kayak sipper? Is this, I've had a shit-ass day, I need a beer sipper? I'd say this is a kayak sipper. Probably just roll along with it. We'll get into a couple of their others. Craig slid in a sour, so at one point, I will crack that thing open, and let's see if he can convince me to like sours, but we'll find out. Anyway, every time on the show, you know we're drinking beer from Hop City and some wine. So if you're interested in any of these beverages that we're consuming or you're hungry for delicious food, stop by any other five locations around the Atlanta metro area or Birmingham, Alabama. And there are three locations. They have restaurants in them down here in Fayetteville, up in the West End, I think it is, of Atlanta, maybe not West End, but south of Atlanta Metro, and then all the way up on the north side, and I can't remember where it is, but those are Boxcar and Hop City Craft Beer and Wines and Barley Garden. Had to remember it all. It's a mouthful today, but enough about that. Thanking our sponsor, we have got a special guest in the studio. We don't have a lot of guests in the studio, so I made sure that it's kind of the beginning of the month, so I thought, what the hell? I'm going to shower. So I got started. I did take a shower. I actually brushed my hair today, and I want to welcome you guys. I want to welcome Brian McBrien.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, glad to have you here. So you have a company. Brian owns a business called
Green Plant Shop. We also go by Green PS, and we're over in Trillith, so we're right by Hop City and Barley Garden. So a little shout out to Craig, one of the fellow shop owners.
There you go. And you, well, but you know, you sell plants.
We sell plants, but strangely, when I built a plant shop, the one thing I didn't expect was how people would come in and really react to the environment and the smell. Constantly, people come in and they just love the scent and the smell, and I think that burst of free oxygen they seem to dig. But once that kind of started to gear up over the first year, we shifted into private events, which we had our pour license at that point. But obviously with a pour license, it doesn't monetize when you're giving alcohol away.
Different than an expensive license? Is that what that
is? Yeah, and here in Fayetteville, it's only $50. So it's actually kind of a quickie, you know, but it's great for boutiques, I think, beauty shops, a lot of places. They serve like a glass of wine with the hair treatments.
So it's the P-O-U-R, folks, pour license. So, Brian, if you go into his place, you can have beer and wine.
Yep. Right? Now we had the shift. We actually petitioned the city of Fayetteville. You know, I wanted to go more into retail, just beer, wine. We didn't want to do hard liquor or anything. So we went and you know, had to approach the whole city council last year, do my little speech and song and dance. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty cool. They ended up voting and changed the law here. So technically any retail store within the Fayetteville city limits can now do beer, wine, or alcohol sales. Obviously do your research because there's a lot of restrictions. You can't turn it into a full scale bar.
Sure.
But it's made it a lot of fun. You know, we get a lot of people that just come in and they just want to sip on a nice quality, good beer. We do a lot of craft beers and hang out with the plants.
That's awesome. And I know I downplayed it when I said you're just a plant shop, but you're really not. You're a hell of a lot more than that. And we're going to get into all those fabulous things like his IMDb credits for everything. I went and check that out.
Excellent.
It's actually on your website, so you do tout it a little bit, but I have been in your shop before, and you weren't you the first retail location in Trillith or close to it?
Yeah. So it was a little spooky. It was like two restaurants. We had Amici and Barley Garden and me.
Yeah. And that was it. And you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So, but you've seen it flourish over
the
years.
We're really seeing it burst. I would say this year, it's been the first time that you can kind of see what the future looks like there. Mm-hmm. The hotel, I believe, comes online January, February, if their construction schedule is still going. CT Taqueria, they'll open right next door. Great spot for margaritas. I think their margarita menu is like 30 different ones.
Holy cow.
Different flavors and styles.
Wow. Wow. Are they going to leave it like over where I live over in Sonoy? They have, they did open container laws. So you can go from, is that going to be?
Yeah, it's called an entertainment district. So technically, as long as it's not in glass. So that's why we serve all our beer basically in a can or in a plastic wine glass. That way people can just grab and go.
Yeah. Well, why would you want to? I mean, you walk out of your place with all those live plants and such a nice close proximity of one another. You just get fired up with all that oxygen. I mean, it is just a pure oxygen boost walking into your shop.
That's why I've never had COVID.
Listen up, people, especially with that little spike we've got going on. Probably add a few extra plants.
Plants,
in your house.
They purify the air. They're healthier. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we enjoy it. But yeah, we get a really good, just a good kind of influx. We've got regulars that come in now to sit at the bar and hang out. So I've never bartended before. It was kind of a learning curve for me. But of course, just pouring beer and wine is a little easier than the mixed drinks.
It is, unless you're like one of our former co-hosts who violently overpoured a beer all the time. Mm. It was guaranteed that it was 75% head and 25% beer.
Not good.
But it's okay. I mean, you're supposed to put a decent head on a beer to help break up some of the, let's release some of the carbonation so you don't have that big full belly and you can drink a little more.
Balance it out.
It's good.
Yeah, and Yazoo's good.
That's it.
I'm enjoying it. It's a very crisp beer.
It is. My girlfriend's going to be jealous. She loves Saisons. So
that's funny. My girlfriend hates beer.
Really?
Literally will not drink it.
Oh, that's a good way to keep your stuff.
She loves wine or mixed drinks, but will not touch a beer.
Oh, man. Man, what were you doing before you opened this plant shop?
Started off in Hollywood in 97.
Yeah.
And fell into the greens industry. It's basically we create all the natural environments through plants, artificial plants. So we do space movies. I've done, goodness, Minority Report was a really fun one. We did the first Star Trek reboot with JJ. I think my first movie was Contact, so that was kind of a big wake-up call to suddenly be standing on set with Robert Zemeckis and Jodie Foster.
I was going
to
say, how was Jodie? Was she?
She was great. I still tell people the funniest story. We're sitting there at the first big meal, and anybody that's ever been in Hollywood catering, they definitely go over the top sometimes for the first meal and the last meal.
Yeah.
But I walk into this tent, you know, it's lunch break, and there's like a Contact ice sculpture that's about 18 feet long. There's a fresh sushi bar. There's a guy doing ribeye steaks. A string quartet. It was just over the top. But the funny part was, as we're sitting there finishing up our meal, I, of course, had a steak, and I think it was like a T-bone or something, so we all had the bone sitting there. And suddenly Jody's walking down, looking at everybody's plates, and she's got this big Ziploc bag. And the next thing I know, she steps up to our table, and she says, hey, do you guys, good to meet you. What are you guys doing? We were like, oh, we're the greens department. And then she asked for our T-bone scraps. And we're looking at her thinking, why is Jodie Foster asking? But she had a dog, and her Labrador was always on set at her trailer. So I think she would take it back and
it's perfect.
Might as well reuse it.
Might as well. I wonder how that works for the trailer people afterwards when they get it back for folks that have their pets on set.
She probably owned it. They all have their own special trailers. It's like a home away from home for them.
That they do. I remember when I used to work for Columbia Pictures out there. And so it was kind of the same thing.
What did you do?
I did research and development for Goober Peters Entertainment Productions. So we did a couple little movies. So
it's a good experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Stories to tell.
They are. It's like, well, what'd you do? Go back and look at it, people. Batman, Gorillas in the Mist. Last one I worked on was Single White Female. That was it. And then the company kind of, you know how it works. They broke everybody up. So
disperse and off to the next one.
Yep, yep. So you're out there. You're doing greens in Hollywood. That's a pretty solid list of movies that you just named off that you did stuff for.
Yeah, I had just a good, fun career. Started into the Marvel world, I guess, on Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3. Ant-Man was the first one we did, of course, when it was still Pinewood down, which is now Trilith.
Right.
So that was the first movie ever done at that studio. So that was kind of cool. We were the inaugural movie there. So that kind of got me tied in. I met Dan Cathy, and at that point, we all started to kind of know who was doing what and hearing about the development. So somewhere along the way, they had approached me at my previous company and talked about putting a plant store in there. So kind of dragged it out because they were nowhere near the development, of course, with COVID and everything else.
Right.
But eventually I just, you know, kind of got out of the industry and sold my other company and just opened a plant store.
So that's all it is now. You don't do movie sets or anything anymore?
Well, recently, a few months ago, I was headhunted by a company that's a media company up in Peachtree Corners, Wiseman Media. And I'm now acting as the creative director for them.
Okay.
So a lot of stuff I'm not allowed to say currently,
That's all right.
Essentially my role will be to start producing independent films. And that's what we're geared towards, pretty much the independent world. We don't want to be in the 50 million, in the Marvel world, any of that nature. So kind of fun. It's getting me back in. It's kind of getting my juices flowing again. So yeah, I think I'm really kind of just diving into it and enjoying it. And right now, I mean, there's a strike going on and nobody's working. So I'm very fortunate to be somewhat still in the industry and working.
That's really good. I'm trying to think. It's like, you know, you go on a set. Now I got to ask you this. You know, you show up and they're like, okay, we need plants for all these scenes. Do they have an idea in mind or did they just trust you? It's like, Brian, here's the scene. Put plants in it.
Yeah, for the most part, we always get reference work from the art department. So the production designer, the art director, set designers, of course, they'll create a look or a concept. And then that's where we'll usually get the images. So then we'll sit down, try and figure out what scale, what scope. Are there stunts? Are there, you know, fire? You know, so we've got to go through all these variables.
Right.
But eventually they do have to put some faith in you. And usually you're working with the same people. Hollywood's very family oriented. So once you usually get in with a good crew, you tend to stick with that crew and just kind of follow them along.
And then, okay, so you do that. You're Hollywood bound. You're backing out of it. You're kind of encouraged to open a plant shop. Have you ever had a retail business before?
No. Never had a retail business in my life.
So, all right, you know, this is where people are like, yeah, that was entertaining. Now let's get down to some brass tacks here. What the hell, man? You have a retail shop that you have no idea what you're doing when it comes to this. Now you got to work with supply and demand and inventory and maybe some payroll and budget and bookkeeping.
Well, my previous company, I used to own a company called Cinema Greens, and we did a lot of fabrication, rentals. We had a 15,000 square foot warehouse at one point. We had a 14 acre farm in Hampton.
Okay.
So it didn't feel like that big of a stretch.
Okay.
You know, I'd already been doing all the payroll and I acted as CFO, art director, et cetera, at the company. So really, it kind of felt like just putting a tinier hat on.
That's not,
as far as opening Green PS.
But the hat fit. It wasn't tight.
Yeah. And I'm enjoying it, but I've got to admit, not being there, you know, we're closed on Mondays. So I'm generally just there on Saturdays now. But, you know, if you guys are around at Trilith this weekend or whenever, pop by and say hi.
I may have to do that. We may be over there this weekend. Now they'd have to pick up my case of Pit Moot.
Oh, excellent.
So
your favorite wine.
Farting sheep, folks. I got it back. And what was the biggest learning curve for you, though? Would you say was it before, during, or after you unlocked the door and said, I'm open for business?
Interesting question. I don't know if there was so much of a learning curve as just putting my faith into Trilith development.
Right.
You know, obviously, if there's no foot traffic, there's no customers, there's no money, there's no nothing. So.
No.
You know, and I also do a lot of big installs on the side. We do artificial walls out of you know, silks and special UV rated materials. Mm-hmm. I'll still do some events, though I'm not as big of a fan of the event world. We just did a couple months ago. Goodness, it was Bernie Marcus, the Home Depot founder. He had a giant vow renewal ceremony at the aquarium, and we built these huge flower clouds for the ballroom.
Oh, wow.
And that was stunning. It was a nightmare to put together and get everything rigged up. And, of course, you're there at like 4 in the morning doing the installations. And not a lot of fun, but it was a good job.
Now, 4 a.m. Okay. Yep. Mm. Right there. So you, I know a popular thing for offices and such, as you said, the plant walls, live or artificial. Obviously artificial is easier in the long run because you don't have to water it or anything, but live ones, you know, plants put in, you know, change the atmosphere. They make things with the oxygen and the exchange of CO2, everything's much nicer, whether you realize it or not. And plant walls are great for multiple, for that reason. And also they're great for sound absorption.
Yeah.
But they seem like they're a pain in the ass to keep up.
That's why I don't do the live ones at all.
No?
No. They're so maintenance heavy.
Yeah.
That honestly, I would end up probably spending my entire life having to run over to clients' places and dealing with it. They're just, you know, they're on pumps. So if they end up dripping, leaking, of course, that becomes a nightmare depending on what the floor or the wall surface is. So I just stick with the artificials.
Okay. So on your, some of the ones that are on your website that I saw, those are all artificial. Like you had something going up like a spiral staircase in St. Louis.
I don't even remember it. I have to go back and look.
And then you did something for Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. So they're really beautiful pictures, folks.
Yeah, we only use the top of the line silk. So, you know, I work with the manufacturer out of Cleveland. They manufacture all this stuff in China. So we try to use only the best stuff. There's a lot of, I see people do things from, you know, Amazon where they're buying boxwood panels and it looks so horrific. So just by using a quality product, of course, the cost is going to be a little higher, but they're generally going to last a lifetime.
Okay. You know,
dust it once in a while with a feather duster and you've done your maintenance.
Okay. Feather duster is good. Really? So you, things are moving along. You open the doors. There's no houses or very few houses out there in Trillith at the time that you opened. Because it's been what, five, six years?
We'd have to hit Craig up, but I think Barley is a little over 3 years.
Okay.
3.5 maybe. Yeah. They might be close to 4. Okay. Because they were there alone, I want to say, for about 2 years.
Oh, were they?
Before that was like 18 months to 2 years. I think they were kind of surviving on the studio just from the workers coming over there for lunch and stuff.
So you've been there for 3 years then?
Yeah, it's closing in on it.
Oh, still, there wasn't the houses. There were just a few big houses.
Yeah, probably when I moved in, there may have been 150 houses. Mm-hmm. The apartments, of course, were up and running because they're all up above the retail. Well, actually, no, they only had about maybe half the apartments done. The rest were still being finished inside.
What was foot traffic like?
It was sporadic, you know, and it's such a strange area. I live in Atlanta, so I'm in the city, and it's kind of the exact opposite of Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. Fayetteville is such a either retiree town or a family town that we found holidays are just mystifying.
Right.
You can have a weekend where it's just booming and then a holiday weekend where almost nobody's out. But I think it's just, you know, it's that family orientation down here. Whereas the city, you have a lot of singles. So Labor Day weekend, they're all out partying at the bars and the restaurants because they're not traveling.
Right. But they're not buying plants probably at that point, though.
Always hard to say.
Never know.
You never know. You just open the door and you cross your fingers.
Well, now knowing that you have beer and wine, you know, I probably would incentivize me to come frequent your shop more often.
No, it's been a good draw, and I always laugh because you'll get, you know, I'm probably 70% female clients that are really into plants, but there's that 30% or so of males.
Right.
So it's kind of funny. You'll get the couple that comes in. And the husband, you can tell, is being kind of dragged into the shop because she wants to, you know, do some plant shopping. Mm-hmm. So I've really found it's a great draw because a lot of times the husband goes, you know, they look and go, oh, my God, you sell beer? And then they're plopped down at the bar while the wife is shopping. So kind of takes the pressure off.
Just comes by and says, if you need it here, take my credit card today, babe.
Hey, it works. Keeps them in there longer.
And you have, like, you have two levels, though, in your place.
Correct.
I don't know if we were allowed to walk upstairs, although I wanted to. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think is it maybe a stock room or something, but no, the upstairs, we've got a cool lounge. We did some old tables out of whiskey barrels. Mm-hmm. And then we do most of our pottery up there, some plants. We've got an HD projector up there so we can play old movies, which I just, you know, kind of ties with my movie theme in the studios. Sure. We kind of keep everything movie related. There's pictures of some of the sets that I've done throughout the shop. And then I always promise I will never play sports on any of the big TVs.
It's a nice thing. Let them, you can go somewhere else and watch them.
They can go to Fairway Social or Amici's or any other place. But yeah, we vowed we won't put any sports up for them.
So you opened before COVID or right after?
No, I was right in the middle of it.
right in the middle of it. So you were signed, sealed, and delivered, and it's like, and then here comes the lockdown.
Yeah.
Then you have an oh shit moment like the rest of the world.
Yeah, it was a little bit spooky, but, you know, I think we've, you know, bounced out of it at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a rise, but I mean, I don't know. At this point, I'm just kind of like, it is what it is.
Sure.
I'm not wearing a mask again. Sure.
No, no. Not like Joe Biden did yesterday on TV or something because of his wife. Yeah. I hope she's fine.
No, I hope she's good. I hope she pulls through if she's old.
So, yeah. But so office settings, let's talk a little bit about office settings. What are some of the best plants that an office should have?
I think
if you're not having a company come in like me, mm-hmm. I take care of my own plants. So someone who wants to do it for themselves or by themselves, what do you recommend?
Definitely ZZ is probably top of the list.
What?
A ZZ. Yeah. There's a couple of different varieties, but they're very hardy. Mm-hmm. They only need to be watered about every 10 to 14 days. And they're just very light resilient. So that means that they can take different lighting environments. Anywhere from kind of bright to a medium.
Okay.
Those are a great one, especially the air purifying everybody loves. And then after that's probably the snake plant or the mother-in-law's. You know, everybody's got one of those.
The mother-in-law, is that a prickly?
The mother-in-law's tongue. I think that was the original nickname for it back in the 50s, and I don't know if it's politically correct anymore.
Okay.
But yeah, that's a nice, easy one. They're very pretty similar in care, lighting needs, all that stuff.
It's not a mother-in-law.
Nope.
Easy.
Sansevieria. But there's a ton of different ones. You can get them in different sizes and shapes and colors. And so really pretty plants.
What do you tell people to stay away from? Like, don't get that. Man.
Ferns are a tough one. They don't seem to react well to being indoors a lot unless you're just going to baby the heck out of them. Mm-hmm. They want to be misted and sort of like treated almost constantly.
Okay.
So unless you're like a plant obsessed person, I don't recommend ferns. and then after that, you know, I think with a little education, most people get it. And that's kind of part of our pitch. Mm-hmm. When you come in, we try to make sure that you're getting like excellent information about the plant. You know, and I tell people when you get home, do a little research, you know, make sure they have the botanical name. That way they can look it up. And there's some great apps out there too, that really can help.
Mm-hmm. It's how often should you repot or at least change the soil out and stuff?
If you can do it yearly, that's always a good kind of way to go. And you should always do your plants generally in the spring or fall.
Okay.
That's kind of a nice time to do it because they're either going into growth mode in the spring, so they're going to want that nutrient. And then fall, they're going to start to kind of chill out a little bit.
Okay. That's really important, folks.
Make sure you use a good organic soil, too. We carry some good organics. And the ones that are specialty, a lot of people are surprised, are succulents or cactus.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very specific soil need. So there's, you know, very specific bags of soil that we'll carry or you can find online. And that's really going to help you because they drain better. Those plants hate to sit in that moisture for too long, which most potting soils do.
I had a succulent that was, when I got my house, it was there outside. I had no idea what it was because it wasn't a typical one. And it's called the Devil's Backbone or Mother of Thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the coolest thing.
Oh, yeah. They're weird.
Loved it. And it would just, you know, wintertime, it would just like, I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know. It's in the dirt. Obviously, it's been here. And it would come back. Mm-hmm. This year, it didn't come back.
Yeah, we had a rough winter.
But I have passed on so many of the little pods to other people. And so I'm like, I hope somebody's got one growing because I'd love to get some of those back.
No, they're strange. Those little pods are everywhere. I know. They just start falling and like new babies will just sprout up within a few days. Yeah. They're like little aliens almost.
I was hoping that they would come back, but yeah, it didn't.
Nope. Bring it indoors. I always say right around election day in November, get all your plants indoors.
That's the time.
Yeah. Here in Georgia, I mean, we can see a freeze, you know, as early as November 5th, 10th, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. So always get them in.
And then just take care of them during the wintertime.
Correct.
Be nice to them. You'll want to be nice to your plants.
Yeah.
Talk to them, folks. Believe it or not, my mom she had a great green thumb.
Mm-hmm.
We always had plants in the house, and I swear, I'd just hear her walking and talking to the plants as she'd water them and give them their thing. What do you think about those Job's food sticks? Are those good or bad?
I do not recommend those.
No, they're garbage.
No, those things are terrible. You'll basically scorch your plant.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why, it's just too much? What is it, just full
it's
of nitrogen
too much.
Or something?
Yeah, I think they're too much of an impact in a small pot. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were to do it outdoors where it could dissipate a little better, I think you'd do well. But no, I think I used one God, way back when I first started in Greens in LA and it killed the first plant I put it in. I was like, okay, well, learned a new lesson.
Hopefully not an expensive plant. I hope it was like something.
No, he's got them free off the set.
So. Okay. So, and then on the social media platform, there's different people out there. And it's funny because there's one person, and I love a lot of the stuff that this person does, but they're like, if your plants are doing this, make this concoction. And I'm like, okay, you can't use the same concoction for the same, all the plants. There's not like a one stop. Like this was, it was something like take oats and soak them in brown tea or whatever and extract the tea leaves out of it and then added cinnamon. You're supposed to let it, you know, steep for a few days. And then this is supposed to be great. And he's like, and you can put it in all these plants. And I tried it. I almost lost a couple. I'm like,
that sounds like, sounds like breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. So like you said before, there's a lot of good apps. Know your plants, know what they need. And if not, come by your shop and you'll help
try and give you some good advice
to keep them alive.
Yeah. I see all those things on Instagram. I love it. It's like sugar or pepper or cayenne pepper or milk or coffee. I think it's all just people exploring and experimenting. Some of it seems to work. Mm-hmm. You know, I've tried a few of those fixes. I didn't really notice any results. But I have been trying some of the sugar. It's kind of strange. I've seen a few that they seem to bounce back, but that's online where somebody's doing a time lapse. So
okay.
I'll let you know.
You're doing
it yourself. I was trying it with some of our fiddles. We yeah. seem to get those brown spots just like everybody does, and they kind of annoy us. So I'm trying to do like a sugar concoction and doing that with like five or six fiddles to see how they react.
Okay. On their brown spots, on their leaves? Is it supposed
yeah,
to help
yeah.
with that?
So it's supposed to really help with it. So I'm going to try it out. Figure, what the heck? Sugar's cheap. It was $1.99.
Right. I like my fiddle fig. It did great. It just grew way too big. Way too big. It loved the window. Just
yeah, they like that bright light. There. I mean, you can always cut them back too. If you were to look online, there's ways to cut them and then to propagate them that way. So there are some little tips on there that you could see.
I know. I just saw one where not only that, but you can get it to supposedly recreate new leaves at a lower point. Like if you find the spot where a leaf had been.
Yeah, it's like a node.
Then you go right above it and do a notch and then do something on the node. It's supposed to bring out.
Yeah, some people they'll go through on ficus trees and it's called like basically like a scarring technique where they'll take a nice razor blade that's clean, sterile, and make little slits in the cambium. And sometimes that does work.
Hmm.
Induces growth.
Interesting. All right, so there's hope for me. I don't know. I watched another woman just like hack her fiddle fig in half and propagate both. I'm like, I don't know if I trust myself doing that.
No, I think if you kind of follow the advice, I mean, there's so many great videos out there now. You know, bonsai became the big thing this year. It seemed like it was the new trend.
Was it?
Every guy in the world that was over 30 were coming in asking about bonsai trees. And for me to try and educate you on the art of bonsai is, you know, I'd have to charge you for a class. It's such an in-depth kind of thing.
I mean, it's probably one class just to learn how to say the word correctly.
Pretty much.
Because most people screw it up.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So now that became kind of a big trend, but that's what I would tell everybody. Like, you know, here, I'll show you kind of the general concept, but honestly, go online. I mean, there's amazing guys from like Japan that are in their like 80s that have been doing it since they were teenagers.
Sure.
And those guys will show you every trick and the grafting techniques and, you know, all the other weird things that go with it. What's that flavor?
This is called Dos Perros Ale. I'm wondering what this is. Dos Perros. Hopefully I'm saying it correctly. It says that, what to name this beer, Lila and Linus thought, watching their two crazy dogs gallivanting in the yard, Dos Perros is brewed with dark German and Belgian malts, flaked maize, and pearl and size hops.
Interesting.
Thought it was going to be a...
Two dogs.
Let's see.
It's a little darker than you would expect.
It is. Kind of. I thought it was going to be a Mexican lager.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like a Dos Perros. Let's give this one a whirl. It's got a nice light brown, a little darker than amber.
That's interesting. It's got a little chocolate in there.
What the hell is that we're drinking? Dark German and Belgian malts. So that's where it's kind of, I would say, folks, if you're wondering what we're trying to figure out with this Dos Perros, I would say this is almost like a Marzen, but a little heavier, slightly, not by much. I don't, but that's what I probably where I'd classify it. It's good.
No, not bad.
I like it. I like it.
The price is right.
Go to Hop City. Yeah, well, the price is, I have to keep saying Hop City Craft Beer and Wines. There we go. I paid for that beer with that one.
I didn't know they had one in Birmingham. I was just there 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
If I had known, I would have popped in.
Yeah. It's right downtown. I don't feel bad. I did the same thing. We were over there for a concert and we met some folks at Trim Tab first. Our goal was to go to Hop City, but we never made it there.
Oh, wow.
Well, a taco truck got our attention. And then the taco truck was outside, and right next to the taco truck was a margarita bar.
Mm.
So we got stuck there until the concert.
You can't go wrong.
No, no. But the next time I'm in Birmingham, I will go, Craig. I promise.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a nice little city. I went up for the Sidewalk Film Festival for a night.
Did you?
Yeah, it was a good time.
It'll be fun. Good stuff. So what's on your agenda now besides independent, working on producing independent films?
I think that's kind of taken over. It's fun. I'm, you know, doing producers meetings. So we're meeting with different writers and directors. Just met with a young guy today, Calvin. He actually lives over at Trillith, but he had an amazing short film that premiered at the Atlanta Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's really kind of taken off all over the country. So just fun. We're looking at expanding his short film, possibly taking it to a full feature.
Cool.
So, you know, I think that's the excitement right now from that is, you know, he's a young, I think he's 23 or 24. You know, I'm almost 50. So it's kind of nice to see the energy and the excitement in these young, new auteurs, I would guess. And then I've got a karate movie that I'm working with. So we just had a good scripts meeting and we're waiting to hear back on a budget breakdown. We've got one of Tyler Perry's line producers doing a budget breakdown.
Awesome.
And see where it goes. But yeah, I would love to get back into film production again. I kind of miss it.
Line item budgets are just a...
Yep. Wow. And they're ever changing.
Yes.
They never get cemented. They're always changing.
You going to go to the Noonan Film Festival?
Didn't even know there was one. When is it?
So a friend of mine, Russell, we actually had him on the show a long, long time ago, folks, talking about his writing, but he really is into films. I actually did the voiceover for a short that he did. That he submitted. And so he's doing a film festival, Noonan Film Festival.
Check it out.
Next year.
Okay.
And he actually, I think he just wrapped on a movie that he was doing.
Good.
So,
I'll keep an eye out. Yeah. I know I'm going to go to SCAD at the end of October. That's the Savannah Film Fest. So I'll be up there for about 4 or 5 days.
Going to go to Sundance?
No, that's going to be a little higher acquisitions market than we're looking at. You know, we're looking at independent. And Sundance is just, you know, it's just a
there's
massive
a good
oversold market. Yeah, well, there definitely are, but probably not in the cards for this year.
I saw Napoleon Dynamite out there. It was funny. We were out there for Sundance 1 year. We had it on the books, like 17 movies in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
We saw 14 out of 17.
Nice.
We're like, what are you doing? It's like, well, that's what we're there for, really. Even though it's in February. We should have been, or end of January, and it should have been skiing as well, but we're there to see movies.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. No, I've had films that have premiered there, but I never actually made it.
Yeah?
I think we had Frozen, I production design. It was a really crazy ski movie. We shot that all over in Utah, but that premiered there. But of course, I was breaking down that same director's other feature that we had just done, so I never made it.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I should get out there, but maybe next year. Who knows?
Maybe a little bigger, little bigger budgets, but there's plenty of them. You got the Montreal Film Festival. You know, there's a small one over in Europe. They call, you know, maybe Cannes, whatever. Cannes, Cannes.
Yep.
It's like saying bonsai. It takes a while to learn how to pronounce it correctly. So you're out there, you're doing the movies, you got the plant business. What? I mean, some things that you've learned over your business career. Hell, we're not going to pigeonhole it to business. Good business or life lessons, like for folks that are listening, what would you say?
Boy, I had a young guy at Trillith came in one day and he was like, hey, I'm thinking of starting my own company. And I think he was doing some kind of fabrication handyman work. And my suggestion to him right off was get a really good accountant before you do anything. And have them help you set up the company. That way it's easy. because once you've set it up so that a bookkeeper or an accountant understands it, it's almost like writing a book. You know, start with chapter one and chapter two. Don't go to chapter nine and then come back to chapter three.
Right.
So I think that's my biggest advice, and that's just going to save you a lot of headaches and potentially tax issues or, you know, screw ups with something, a permit here or there. So, I mean, that's the worst part of owning a business is it feels like every week or every month some other governmental agency's reaching out going, hey, you forgot to pay this, blah, 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 or you've got to do your corporate tax. So that's probably the most demanding part of owning a business is just making sure you don't forget something. But, you know, a lot of that, I think, just calendaring and you know, kind of keeping track of what you're doing and then get your net 30 accounts, especially if you're retail. That can save your butt. You know, I think when I first started Cinema Greens, it was like we didn't have credit.
Right.
We had no rating. So trying to get net 30 with people is almost impossible, especially big suppliers.
So what he's talking about, folks, net 30 means when you receive a delivery or shipment of something, you get 30 days to pay that bill back. Most people, it's on demand, like, or upfront. Upfront is another big one. But you can get longer terms as well. Sometimes you get net 10. But a lot of times when you pay your invoices sooner than later, you can always ask for a discount too. Like if I'm going to pay this COD cash on delivery, you know, on delivery or upfront before I even get it delivered, they might give you a reduction, a 3 to 5% reduction.
Doesn't hurt to ask, right?
Right. But even net 30 should be standard without any additional charges.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming in the plant business, I don't think I'd want to pay upfront for my new delivery of plants because I want to see what they look like before they come in.
Yeah, but I've got to admit, I have such an amazing broker down in Florida.
Yeah.
I rarely see an error. Sometimes it's actually the weird error where instead of one case of whatever you ordered, you end up with two and it's like, oh, what the heck am I going to do with all these?
Right.
Which has happened a few times. So not much they can do other than say, well, sorry, good luck. Hopefully you'll sell them.
How long did it take you to establish like a net 30 rating?
Well, coming in, because this is like my second company, I had already established that with all my main suppliers. So for this, it wasn't as big a deal. I would say when I first started Cinema Greens, it took us a good, you know, 4 to 6 months of regular purchases before they kind of accepted it.
You got to have like you said, regular. You can't make one purchase a year from somebody and go, I'd like net 30 terms on that.
No, most people out there, they don't trust it. So yeah. I think they're always waiting for the other shoe to fall or the check to not arrive.
Right. And then what else? What other kind of things? Newspaper advertising, I think, you know, print advertising would be huge.
You think so?
Installing telephones, getting a mimeograph machine in your place. No.
Mix it up. Hey, all my stuff's antique in there.
Now, what are some other things that you feel are important for a business these days to be successful?
I mean, obviously social media is important.
Yeah.
It's one thing that I battle with. I'm not a big fan of social media personally, but I get it from a business standpoint. I'd love that point where, you know, I was just paying some social media person, but honestly, every time they come in, it's like, they want to make more than most of my staff does doing social media.
Right.
I've had a lot of people approach me and it's like, well, $800 a week. And I'm like, what? I mean, I better see like 10,000 new customers a month if I'm paying you that much.
Right.
So I haven't bitten into that world yet. I kind of do it on my own. Probably a default that I should change at some point here. But, you know, definitely social media is important.
Social media. Okay. Accountant, social media for the business. That's a good thing. And having people being able to find you.
Yeah.
It's kind of spooky going down that alley. There's a lot of...
Yeah, the hard thing is the taqueria has been taken forever. It's like 9 months and we're like, please open up.
Because I think... Really in the way? Seriously? Like, are they kind of blocking the...
It was for a while. It's not too bad. They've got most of the exterior stuff done. They're in... I think they were painting in the last week or so. So it feels like they're getting closer. But I think that'll just make that corner more vibrant because right now it's just sort of a dead end where, you know, people kind of look around the corner and wonder, can I go down there? So
it's not spooky, folks. Actually, it's very pleasant and you feel extremely, I mean, it's Trilla. Come on, you feel super safe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right next to Amici there. So if you see Amici, we're right around the corner.
Right down the alley. And there's the bull across the street now. What is the deal
with
the
big ass bull? Yeah, that's been moved. It's sitting on the sidewalk down by Hero Donuts now. So I don't know what's going on with that thing.
Who came up with some of this lawn? Like there's that massive out there on the main road, Veterans Parkway. There's that big old black and white.
Oh, the weird
thing
sculpture there.
Yeah. It looks like a, what is that? The game you used to play, Jax.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like.
I would say
like,
that's probably Dan Cathy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very hands on. He's down mm-hmm. there walking around all the time. So that was probably inspired by him. I think he's kind of the dreamer down there, and this is sort of his last hurrah. You know, he's already retired from Chick-fil-A, and I think this is his focus.
Make it a little artsy around there, and you got the other place that I'm trying to think across from the fitness center. That
Rome?
No, not Rome. On the other side of the parking lot. Like, it's almost like there's a warehouse. It was made out of...
Oh, the overflow. That's
what is that?
They call it the Chadwick Boseman soundstage. It's got the black and white graffiti on it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it was. They hired an artist. It was right after Chadwick died. Mm-hmm. They brought a graffiti artist in, and then that's kind of, if you really look at it, it's all sort of an homage to that Black Panther Chadwick Boseman.
Cool.
Yeah, and they use that for events, parties. There's been a little bit of filming in there. I know Kanye West was out here doing some weird stuff a few years ago. Kind of during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the current iteration, if you're going to look just to the right of that, I guess, there's two gigantic concrete soundstage buildings.
Okay.
From what I've gathered, those are now going to be television soundstages. So what they want to do is remove Family Feud and a lot of the Steve Harvey stuff that shoots on the lot
mm-hmm.
and segregate that over to our side, which will be great because then that's going to bring in hundreds of people.
Sure.
Sometimes for multiple changeovers when they do the live audiences.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. I know he used to, at Columbia, watching live, anything that's filmed before a live studio audience can be really entertaining.
Which doesn't happen much anymore.
No. Back in the day, I mean, we had all the sitcoms. I think Full House was one that they shot that they had live studio audience for, and that was on
Seinfeld, Friends, all those were live. We used to be at Paramount when they were shooting Friends, and it would be just... You knew taping day, which I can't remember if that was a Thursday or a Friday, but there would be like 800 people just lined down the sidewalks.
5,500 Wilshire Boulevard, Paramount Studios, right? Oh, yeah.
Spent many days there, many nights, too.
Hey, the good thing is that wasn't too far away from the Whiskey.
Oh, yeah. Love the Whiskey. You know? I'm a big Doors fan. That was my favorite band. I actually got to see the only time Ray, Robbie, and John played together, because mm-hmm. John was sort of a... didn't like the other guys at some point. He just kind of separated.
Yeah.
Playing the Whiskey. And it was amazing. Like Perry Farrell came up and sang Morrison's part.
Holy cow.
John Doe from X came up. I mean, they were like really, it was just a cool show.
Oh, all right. I'm a little jealous now. All right. I think we need to end this podcast because that's it. We're done. No, but I think we're getting close. What else you got? I mean,
as far as people starting businesses, just doing the research, find the passion, I guess. That's probably the best thing is, finding what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Opening a restaurant, I would love that. I'm Irish, so the idea of a restaurant bar sounds fantastic, but I think I've walked away from that. Having seen people start restaurants and all the stress and the headaches and the staff and not my thing.
Hours and failure rate. Probably 60% of bars and restaurants that open fail within the first year.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that is due to, a lot of reasons, but budget, one of them. Number two, they're passionate, but they don't know how to run. Like, oh man, you're a great cook. You should open up a restaurant. And somebody goes, oh yeah, I will. And then they don't really, it doesn't translate well a lot of times.
Yeah.
But I was talking to somebody about the same thing today because they're like, why do you get into these things? You're like, you're doing these businesses and whatnot. And they said, I've got an entrepreneurial mind, but I've only worked for a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to find something that I'm, as you said, passionate about. I told them, I said, okay, well, maybe you just work with a side hustle, something that you're interested in, not passionate about. And if you could start that, go with that. And then you're dipping your toe in the water, but don't hold back, mm-hmm. plan it and then execute.
Yeah.
And you get something going and that may spark now you get the wheels moving and the other things might start flowing. I'm like, don't think too hard about it. Cause you're going to block what's naturally going to come. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's a drive, especially when you first start it. I there were days I felt like I never left that shop, except on Mondays when it was closed. So it starts to wear on you somewhat.
Yeah.
So yeah, I will say with Rihanna in there now, my gal that's taking care of everything, keeping it live and lush and, you know, a little shout out to her. She's really killing it in the shop.
Excellent. Well, I am glad. I don't know if you, unless you got anything else for us today.
No, good beer, good times.
That's it. Well, thank you for coming on the
podcast. Thanks for having me.
Folks, we appreciate it. Brian, thank you. Again, Brian, Big Brian, what is your website?
We are www.greenplantshopllc.com. A little bit long, but you'll remember that.
Say it one more time for the
Greenplantshopllc.com.
Greenplantshopllc.com. And if you happen to be anywhere in Atlanta and probably want, I would say, the best plants, I'm going to go there.
Hey, I'll take it.
Because, I mean, he's truly the Hollywood plant guy. But come on down, get some lunch over there at Barley Garden, pick up some beer and wine at their
Oh, he's got a great city. Selection. What I love there too is their beer on their taps. They don't recycle the same beer. So I think it's really great how Gray, he's the beer tender, I almost would say. It's great how he mixes that up. So it's like one beer gets burned out and then a new one comes in.
And it's totally different.
Yeah.
Different flavor. Ah, damn Hop City. Damn you for being so good. But yeah, check them out. Come down, have lunch, Barley Garden, have some, grab your beer and wine and take home, and then have a finisher or a starter over at the Green Plant Shop, right?
We love it. We try to keep our prices low, and that way people can kind of feel like they're getting a good bargain. Mm-hmm.
And if you're bringing somebody in who is with you and they're kicking and resisting because they're like, I don't like plants, just tell them to come inside and plop their ass at the bar, and then you go buy your stuff yourself. They'll be happy.
Works for me.
So, folks, unfortunately, again, Lynn wasn't here. I hope she's having a lot of fun.
Hi, Lynn.
And she should be back next week for the show. Y'all enjoy the weekend. Have a great time, and we will talk to you later. Bye.
Take care.